what your staff is actually looking for is they're looking for someone who is going to be able to help lead them. And the position that you position yourself best with your CAs is to be their doctor.
Hello and welcome to the Remarkable CEO Podcast, a show dedicated to chiropractors who want to transform their job into a business so that they can have a remarkable practice as part of a remarkable life, not instead of one. With your hosts, Dr. Pete Camiolo and Dr. Stephen Franson.
Welcome to another episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. I'm Dr. Pete Camiolo.
And I'm Dr. Stephen Franson.
And today you are engaging with us at the start of a two-part series on one of our favorite subject matters, the second side of the Rubik's Cube. Whenever you're troubleshooting your business, always go back to the cube. Today we're doing a two-part series starting with part one on a leadership subject and the leadership topic of leading your team. And what we're going to break down specifically are the three different relationships that you could have with your team, but the one that's going to make all the difference. And it's critically right that you get this right. Dr. Stephen, this is a topic that has come up frequently in our coaching and the CEO masterminds in our program. It's actually come up way before that, because this comes all the way back from days in the office, days in the practice, and still applies now with the very team that we get to work with. And so, Dr. Stephen, leadership is something that you can never move away from. And as you ascend from the owner-operator and become that CEO, it's an ascension of an identity. It's an ascension of a leader. And ultimately, what we know is that in order to build a remarkable business, you have to turn that job into a business. You have to equip and empower leaders. You have to bring your team to a place of leadership, and that starts with you. And the question I always ask myself and the question I ask you is, are you a leader worth following? And what does it mean to become that leader in your business in this next iteration? As you listen to this podcast, regardless of where you find yourself on your journey in your career in the four seasons, where you are right now, the question is, who do I need to become? What is the next stage for me to mature, to develop myself as a leader? And I hope that this series, starting with this episode this week, will begin to challenge you and also reveal to you places and opportunities for you to grow your level of leadership for yourself and your team.
Excited for this conversation, as always, Dr. Pete. It's as usual, inspired by a mastermind conversation that I had this week with a group of four or five docs. And I was just listening to, we were talking about goal setting for Q2 2024, and like listening to some of the resistance or pushback or some of the constraints of their businesses. As I was listening, as we were going around the room, talking about the power of goal setting and some of the challenges that they face with their team with goal setting. And really, as I listened, I was like, oh my gosh, all of these things are just symptoms of the relationship being off with the business, right? So, you know, it was, I found myself coaching on the material that we're going to cover here today. So I think it's just a great place, because I'm sure, because it was 5 for 5 on the doctors on this call, they were all experiencing the same thing. They just weren't able to put their finger on it, right? That was like, this wasn't a tactical solution they were needing, right? So it wasn't just like, oh yeah, this is easy. Just stop doing that and start doing that, or give them this report or this form or assign that KPI or whatever. It was like, literally, it's like, oh, wait a minute, time out. You know, you've got a relationship issue, right? So you've got a relationship issue, which is based in an identity issue, because at the end of the day, they had made the ascension from owner operator to CEO. They went from labor to leader, which implies they get a bunch of people following them, but they had not made the ascension in the relationship, right? So it's just like they, you know, the relationship that they had that had, you know, kind of got them through the first stages of business and of practice, and they had achieved, everyone on the call successful, right? So some measurable level of success, right? But it was what the relationships that had got them where they are absolutely not going to get them to the next level where they were trying to get, right? And that's where the machine was squealing, right? That's where it was creaking. This is where there was, you know, smoke coming off the engine, right? So, and most of it was, almost all of it was relationship based, right? So at the end of the day, as we make an identity shift and we make an ascension, our relationships with our team have to make an ascension. So I think it's easier today if we kind of divide this conversation in half, because when we say team, yes, we're on the team as the leadership. We have the leadership team, and then very often we have our CAs. And for many up here in the scale conversation, we have DCs, associate doctors, other doctors, providers involved, right? So let's bust it apart to our relationships with our CAs and the relationships that we have with our DCs. I find that, you know, they're slightly different, okay? They're slightly different because the relationship itself is ultimately going to be very different, but there are slightly different approaches to this, but they're very, very similar, okay? So in my experience, what I found, and always teaching from scar tissue here, what I found is I was screwing this up seven ways to Sunday, right? Right. With my practice and my team, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, what I recognized was it was really easy to win people over, right? So you could create a relationship with people where they really liked you and they were excited about the work that you were doing. And, you know, you were going to train them and equip them and develop them. And you were passionate about the work you were doing. So you'd attract people and they saw qualities in you that they were really seeking in their life. Right. So it was like, what is it about this guy, Dr. Pete or Dr. Steven, or, you know, for you guys listening right now, this is like, you're going to attract people they're going to see qualities in you that they've been looking for, either in, you know, their friends or in their spouse or father or mother. There's going to be all kinds of, let's call them primal needs, right? Like, so essential nutrients in relationships that they're going to see in you. So they're going to want to have this relationship with you, right? So it's so you know, at the end of the day, we've got to choose what form does this relationship take with everybody on the team, right? So, and you know, I've teased it down to like what I think you've got three relationships available to you to have with each and every one of your CAs. Okay. And you got to choose one. Yeah. And the relationship that you choose to have is going to make all the difference, not just in your outcomes, but in your experience. Okay. As a leader. Right. So I'd suggest you got to choose between one of three relationships. Number one, you can be their boss. Number two, you could be their friend. Or number three, you could be their doctor. Now, I don't know about you, Dr. Pete, but I got a bit of a clunky start with my team. I didn't really want to be anybody's boss. And to this day, I still don't want to be anybody's boss. I don't want to be your boss. I don't want to be your manager, frankly. Okay. So I knew that that wasn't the role, right? And I did not yet understand the dynamic of true leadership. So, but what I did know was I knew how to be a doctor. Okay. And I'm like, okay, so I get it. I want to take care of my team members and I want to be their doctor. And that was a really good relationship. And I liked that relationship, right? So, but when I was at my best, I was acting like their doctor. And that was the place that just got the most respect from them and garners the most trust from them. And that was the energetic dynamic I was looking for. When I was at my worst, I was behaving like a friend. And that was the thing that they wanted, right? That everybody in the team, they want to be, you know, hey, I just want to be your friend, right? So at the end of the day, I'd say those are the three choices you got. You can be their boss, or you can be their friend, or you can be their doctor. A choice is going to determine your outcomes and your experience as a leader. Hey, Remarkables, Dr. Steven Franzen here. Are you ready to take your practice systems to the next level, grow your practice, and increase your profit? Would you like to have your team immersed in a high energy, inspiring environment where they're trained and skilled up in the complete TRP system? Well, I got great news. It's that time of year again. It's time for the Remarkable Conversion and Retention Immersion. It only happens one time a year in the US and once in Australia. It's June 7 and 8 in Nashville, Tennessee, and June 28 and 29 in Sydney, Australia. It's a comprehensive training on the complete Remarkable Practice Building System. We cover everything. Day 1, 2, 3, 4, week 1, 2, 3, 4, month 1, 2, 3, 4, year 1, 2, 3, 4, patient conversion and retention, we cover the entire system. What would it feel like to see your patients eagerly start, happily follow your recommendations, and stay under care because they want chiropractic care? This is the best bang for your buck in training all year. Register your team now at theremarkablepractice.com or find the link in the show notes below. Join us for a jam-packed 2 full days of intensive training for chiropractic teams that want to grow their practice and increase their profit.
June 7 and 8 in Nashville, Tennessee, and June 28 and 29 in Sydney, Australia.
So I have so many stories like you in regards to this with the staff. And like you said, scar tissue from the ways, you know, that we got it wrong. And, you know, I think this is a really sensitive subject. So I think it's worth unpacking as we are today and having a conversation around it. And so I know for me, as an example, you know, one of the things that I would say, and this is, it was maybe a little bit tongue in cheek, but it was actually meaningful to me because I wanted to emphasize a point with my staff when I would hire them at the end of the interview, after everything was done, it was, you know, they were ready, I was going to hire them, but I would, before they would, we would leave that room, before we went up to the front or whatever, they were official, they signed everything. I would say before they left, I would say, "Hey, Steven, before you leave, I have one more question to ask you. And the question is, are you going to be a good boss?" And I would just pause, and they were like, they looked at me very strangely. And I said, "The reason why I ask you is because, you know, I work here and I'm a doctor here." And I said, when you come on board as a CA in this office, I said, "As soon as you are here and you have a position in this office, I work for you." I said, when I show up and I have my Dr. Pete hat on and I'm Dr. Pete, I work for you. You're the boss. You, as a check-in CA, you tell us exactly what's going to happen today. You know what I'm going to do? Exactly what you tell me to do. And you, check-out CA, you're the boss of tomorrow. And you know what I'm going to do? Exactly what you tell me to do. And tech CAs, when you come and you put the post-it on the wall and I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to do. So are you going to be a good boss? And it was interesting because as I reflect back now, going with this boss, you know, friend, doctor, was I actually positioned it in a way where I positioned them as the boss. In other words, I positioned them as a leader. What that helped me do was it helped me avoid the temptation to become a friend, that I was hiring them to be a leader in this office, to lead the patients and actually help lead me. And I found, Dr. Steven, that wasn't the early. That's what I discovered over time, was that when I was making those decisions, say, "Hey, I'm actually hiring you to be a leader in this office. And one of the people you're going to lead is me." And that flipped the script a little bit, because you think, "Oh, they're the boss. They're hiring me. I work for them." It's like, no, actually I work for you. And that was really helpful for me because it reminded me that this person is a leader in this office. And then I could step into my role, which I knew the two things that I was going to do was I was going to be their doctor and I was going to be their coach, because I knew those would be the two things that I would do. Is I'm going to be your doctor, as far as I'm going to help be your teacher. I mean, doctor means teacher. When it comes to your health for you and your family, you were hiring me. And part of you being here as a patient is you get chiropractic care. It wasn't a question. It was a guarantee. You were under regular chiropractic care. You went through the new patient experience. You got on a care plan and you went through the entire process. And if you had a family, they came in, they went through the entire process. Everybody was under care. It was a requirement as a patient. So I actually built into the expectation. It's actually one of the features or benefits, you might say, of being a employee in the business, was you got under regular chiropractic care in this office, you know, and that's an incredible blessing for you. It's worth thousands of dollars more than what you're even paying. So, or being paid. So that was a huge benefit. That also, Dr. Steven, put me and puts us in a position of being their doctor. And if you're not being the doctor, think about this. If you're not regularly adjusting your staff, if they're not getting regular chiropractic care, they're not taking the, you know, vitamins and supplements that you believe that they should be on, if they're not doing their home exercises as prescribed, if they're not fill in the blank, whatever that is for you as the doctor, but those were the legs of the stool for me, is they needed to be under regular chiropractic care, honored, they were in the schedule. They were in my schedule. Their name was scheduled. They missed appointments if they didn't get That's their right. appointment that day. They had to get adjusted. I remember times right. where I was like, "Dr. Pete, before you leave,
workshop, you get adjusted progress today. Reports, progress exam."
Right? Yes. Yeah. Like, I'm a Wednesday adjustment. I don't want to make sure I'm not on the, I don't mess up our compliance percentage today because my name is red right now. I need to turn it, you know, black or whatever the colors were when they shifted, when they made their appointment. That's and, right. you know, that was a big deal. So being the doctor, and then the other part, Dr. Stephen, was, and then when we would go into trainings, team trainings, then I would became, I shifted slight shift from doctor to coach or trainer. And then I, but I was still doing doctoring. It's training and teaching. Doctor means teacher, how to, let's say, do this work well, how to execute that process procedure in a way that's aligned with our model or whatever. So Dr. Stephen, to your point, I think it's a temptation for some of us because we think that if they are a friend that they're going to listen and they'll do a better job following, they'll stay longer. But I've found, Dr. Stephen, I think you as well, it's actually the opposite. And what people, what your staff is actually looking for is they're looking for someone who's going to be able to help lead them. And the position that you position yourself best with your CAs is to be their doctor.
That's exactly right. It's a classic example of the hard, easy, you know, versus the easy, hard. When you're like, it's just so much easier for me to just win them over, woo them, be their friend, be their pal, and, you know, use my persuasive personality to get them to do what I want them to do. And it's just easier, right? So maybe initially it feels that way, but it's definitely not, right? That's the easy, hard. Right. So that is that relationship is only going to get harder, right, as you go. And so because people do not want to work for their friend. Now, do they want to be friendly with the person that they work for? 100%. Can you be friendly as their boss? 100%. Can you be friendly as their owner? 100%. Can you be friendly as their manager? 100%. Can you be friendly as their doctor? 100%. But we all know that that's not the same as being their friend. Right. Mm. So it's like, where do we blow this up? Like, how do we screw this up? Right. So how have I screwed up in the past? Doing things like, hey, let's all just go out for drinks on Thursday nights after work on, hey, let's go out, let's go partying at the seminar. You know, hey, I'm going to bring you to the seminar. We're going to go out and we're going to get hammered. Right. And we're going to go dancing all night. It's just like, can you go have a blast and have fun with your team? Yes, of course you can. I mean, we have such a blast with our team. But you never surrender your identity of who you are in that person's life. And you just have to guard it, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean being disingenuous. It just means don't put yourself in environments or in situations where, you know, you're going to damage the relationship, right? So just be really careful with that. You know, it doesn't mean you can't have fun with your team, but we all know the difference, right? It's like, art, you know, when you see it, right? So it's like, just, we all know the difference between being their pal going out and, you know, partying with them and going out and having a great time, you know? So there's a fine line. It's a tight wire, but relationships always are, right? And as far as being their boss, man, it's like, who wants to spend your day telling people what to do, right? That's just transactional management. We want transformational leadership. So I will bring in managers, professional managers on my team. Right? So as part of operationalizing and professionalizing the business, I bring in an office manager or a COO, and their job by definition is running the team. I'll lead the team. Okay. I'll lead the team, but they run the team. But what's so critical is that I lead from a place of being the doctor, my identity of being the doctor with my CAs specifically, right? So my CAs, I want them to know and feel like I work for my doctor, right? So it's not that, you know, my doctor is my boss. It's I work for my doctor. And how do you protect that dynamic, that relationship? Like you said, when they're scheduled to be in the adjustatorium getting checked and adjusted, guess what you're doing in the adjustatorium? You're checking their spine for subluxation. You're giving them world-class chiropractic care, and you're educating them. You're speaking into them, challenging their belief system, and you're educating them. You're equipping them, right? So you are table talking with them, not just like another patient. They're your most important patients. Your family and your staff are your most important patients. Do you treat them like that? Mm-hmm. Are they getting exams? Are they getting reports of findings and recommendations for care? Are they scheduled out? Are they mapped out? Are they going to workshop? Are they getting progress exam, progress reports? Are you doing table talk? Are you woodshedding them if they're off schedule, right? Do you teach them the three-legged stool? Or when they're in the adjustatorium, are you talking about work BS? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the fastest way to just smash that relationship. It's like, it might not wreck your relationship as their boss, but you're no longer in their eyes their doctor, right? So it's like, if you're their boss in the adjustatorium, you're blowing it, right? So you are their doctor. And when they are in for an office visit, these are some of your most important patients. You got to act like it, Dr. Pete.
It's good, Doc. I mean, even just hearing you say it, it's just so good. It's what an amazing opportunity that you have, you know, that you have. And if things are off right now and you can rein it in and regain this identity. And I think even to your point, Dr. Steven, it's the ascension of the relationship. And so if the relationship that you have, if you identified yourself with Dr. Steven's like, yeah, I've been a little bit more like the pal, I've allowed the relationship to deteriorate into that. Maybe because you thought that that was going to rescue that relationship, or you thought that that was going to be the thing that, listen, you have an opportunity to, and this is exactly how I address stuff like this, whether it's with a patient or with my staff, is, you know, you go, you have a one-on-one, or you can do this one to many in front of the entire group. And you say, listen, I need to apologize. You know, my role in your life, I have not fulfilled on what I know is my role for you. And, you know, I'm your doctor, and I've not been taking great care of you. I've not been serving you well. I've not been being a great leader. And I'm going to ask if we can, in a sense, press the reset button, and we can get back on track.
Give me a chance to reset it.
Get back on track with this. And hopefully you can restore that relationship into its right order, because what's happened is it's disorder, right? But it will take time to regain that level of trust with that person, the trust in the relationship as a doctor, because you developed this, again, friendship or pal type relationship, and you lost authority. You lost that relationship trust. Yeah. And you have to earn it back. And so maybe that's you listening to this thing. You're like, yeah, that's me. That is me. I have a lot of great friendships with my staff. But for you to grow to the next level, for you to bring your business to the next level, you have to ascend that relationship to the next level. You know, we talk about A and B and C players, and this isn't that. This is relationship. When you deteriorate into a friendship, that's actually, you're already moving into a B level to C level relationship. With that, as far as performance to be expected, because you've connected that level, you want to maintain that A level of relationship with your staff. You have to move into that relationship as their doctor.
And here's the way it's going to work, and here's the why it's going to work. Okay, so the way it's going to work, you've got to be consistent. So it's not going to be quick. It's not going to be fast, right? So it's going to take consistency. Your behavior, doc, as a leader, is going to need to change. And it might take months, it might take years, okay? But it's worth it, right? To shift that identity and shift and elevate the relationship. Let the relationship make that ascension, right? So it's not going to be fast, and it's going to require you to be really consistent. And it's a ton of discipline, but that consistency is the new intensity, the theme around here, right? So you've got to be consistent. That's how it's going to work. Why it's going to work is because it's exactly what everybody around you wants you to be. Hmm. You have to recognize people don't want another pal. They don't want another friend. They think they do because they don't know how to put their finger on what they really need. Okay. And what they really need is leadership. And what they really want from you is for you to lead them in the role, right? They, just like your patients don't want to be your pal, they want you to be their doctor. Your team doesn't want to be your pal. They want you to be their leader and lead from the place of being the doctor, right? Hmm. So I can remember, I mean, I got a cold shower on this one. At one point, is like, I had one of my, I was probably 2 years in practice, and I can remember we had a changing of feeder rooms. We do Gonstead's. We had two adjustatoriums with feeder rooms that fed into the two adjustatoriums with hot seats on the outside. So patients could totally, it was audibly totally open. So slat doors, there was no blockage. You could hear exactly what was being said everywhere. Right. So I can remember putting these two kids were probably like 12 and 15 into the change room after I had just adjusted them, and they'd, you know, I'd been adjusting them for a couple of years, so they were feeling really confident and familiar, right? And then the next person was this awesome, really mature, regal, respectful woman in her 70s, right? So I put the kids into the changing room, and they're like, hey Steven, all right, see you later, take it easy. Yeah, see you, Steven. Right. And I was like, all right, boys, I'll see you later. Close the door. And then I opened the next door, and she came in, and she stopped, and she said, Dr. Franson. I was like, yeah, good to see you. And she's like, you know, I love you. Right. I was like, I do know that, and I appreciate it. I'll be right back. And she's like, so I can tell, can I tell you something? And I'm like, 100%. What do you got? And she was like, you are my doctor. I'm like, And looking at her like, Yeah. She's like, I don't want to hear these kids calling you Steven. I call you Dr. Franson because you're my doctor. And I was just like, Pete, I was like, this was when I'm like 29 years old and just cool Steven, just trying to make sure everybody liked me. And we're just in the groove here. And that woman was looking me right in the eyes and she's like, you are my doctor. I pay you to be my doctor. I listen to your recommendations as my doctor. You were in college for 9 years. You are my doctor. I don't want to hear some 13-year-old kid calling you Steven. Okay. And I was just like, Roger that. I'm like, yes, ma'am. And Dr. Pete, that was the end of that. And for the next 23 years is Dr. Franson or Doc. Right. So, and there was always lots of doctors around my office, but somehow I got hung on with the moniker Doc. Right. So to this day, as you know, like everyone calls me Doc, right? And the people that worked for me 20 years ago to the people today, there's 12 doctors in the room and I'm Doc. It's like, how did that happen? It was just the commitment to the consistency, not of you call me Doc, but right. Being Doc, right? That was the decision I made. I remember Roberto Monaco, after our first immersion, he looked at me, he goes, you know, I noticed something. I'm like, what? He goes, there's 15 docs sitting around. And everybody in the room calls you Doc. He's like, how did that happen? I was like, what a great observation. And at the end of the day, it was DCs and CAs. That was just a standard of excellence and respect in our practice. Never demanded it. Demanded it of myself, you know, of the role, the identity, the behavior. Remarkable does not imply perfect. And we are far from that. But if you needed to hear that today, it's like, it's not about you, right? So it's your role in the tribe. And what the tribe needs you to be, right? Yes. The tribe is desperate for you to be the leader that they're looking for. So, you know, as we wrap this, there's a slight pivot to associate doctors, right? Because now you've got doctors around you too, right? So, and it's even more attractive, right? To get pulled, there's a gravitational pull and hey, we're equals. Hey, we're both doctors. Hey, we're both professionals, whatever. But never lose sight of the fact that you are the leader, right? Yes. So you, again, you've got three relationships to choose between. You know, the associate doctors are going to, they're going to either want, you know, you're either going to be their boss or you're going to be their friend or you're going to be their mentor. Mm-hmm. And that is an identity choice that you have to make. Yes. And all of them come with consequences. And Dr. Pete, I know you're like me in that you just, I don't want to be anybody's boss. That's just not what I want to spend my time bossing people around. And frankly, I know that as much as I love my friends, I'm not looking to make more friends. I don't want to build a team of people that I pay to be my friend, right? So I'm bringing people in to help me save the planet, right? So, and at the end of the day, I know that the reason that they started with me, why they joined our team and why they'll stay is because they want me to take on my role as the leader, okay? And those relationships with those doctors is to be a mentor, right? And have the opportunity to mentor them. Because I know that like that's the role that they hired you for. Mm-hmm. When somebody says, yes, I'm with you, I'm going to follow you. They're hiring you. They're raising their hand. They're getting on your ship and they're asking you to be the captain. So between the boss, the friend, or the mentor for your associate doctors, choose the identity and the relationship ascension of assuming the role of mentor.
Chiro Matchmakers will help you find the right person for the job. If you're looking to hire the ideal chiropractic assistant, Chiro Matchmakers will help you find the specific person missing from your team so that you can get back to using your talents to serve more people. Or if you're looking to hire the ideal associate doctor, CMM can help. Chiro Matchmakers helps chiropractors like you find the ideal associate doctor to unlock your practice potential and get you the freedom that you desire. To learn more, go to chiromatchmakers.com.
Please stick around for more business insights from this week's bonus interview with our remarkable success partner dedicated to helping you more successfully help more people. Enjoy.
All right, guys, welcome to our success partner interview. I'm excited to jump into this segment here. I am with Noda Hashimoto, who is a doctor of chiropractic and the CEO for TrackStat, which I personally use in my practice, and it has been a game changer for us. So I'm excited to hear what he shares with us today. So welcome, Noda, and maybe tell the audience a little bit about who you are and the evolution of TrackStat.
Yeah. If you would have talked to me years ago, if I was going to start a software company, I would have said absolutely not. Quick story about me, chiropractor, and I think I did like every single shiny object, every single thing that you could do. Like we did chiro, added like weight loss. Like I remember when it was like just me and my wife, like we were cranking away. We hit just two of us, like 1.8. And then like a couple of employees, but that was like crazy days. Then we had the allure to add in medical. We added more revenue, but made less money. Mm-hmm. And then I decided after a couple years of doing that with a medical consulting company that I lost my soul. And then we just decided that we were a chiropractic business that offered regenerative medicine. So instead of 5 days a week of medical, it was like 1 day a week of medical. And we quit doing like all the medical like trigger points and stuff. And it was just essentially like PRP regen and stuff like that. But like we're primarily chiropractic. We did have a physical therapist because we had a lot of Medicare patients and they wanted to get rehab. And it was, it was just a very musculoskeletal one-stop shop, obviously not surgery. But we were doing a lot of things. Like we were doing like epidurals and facet injections, but with like regenerative products. So we were making like long-term change, but like it was always a pain in the butt of tracking patients. Cause like essentially one patient had multiple treatment plans. Mm-hmm. So you had like maybe a back brace treatment plan, a PRP and regen treatment plan, a physical therapy treatment plan, and a chiro treatment plan. And we'd always map them out. And when they didn't change, things are easy. But like sometimes you have pilots or nurses or people that couldn't block schedule all their appointments and didn't, it fell off track. Or if they missed one and didn't make it up, it was a pain in the butt. So we started tracking all of our treatment plans on an Excel spreadsheet. And we had someone updating that for 15 to 20 minutes a day. And our practice just rocketed with that. It was a game changer for us. And I also had another business that I had with like two other partners. And we were doing about close to 200 stem cell seminars for MD clinics a month. And we ended up hiring an engineer in that business to make that run because it was a lot of data moving back and forth. And in between projects, I actually asked, you know, my partner is like, David's just sitting there doing nothing. Can he build this thing? So he built out the treatment plan tracker for me because he was in between projects. And then another thing that frustrated me is like every EHR, they'll give you a list of patients with no future appointment, but they're in alphabetical order. And he's like, well, someone that had like 100 visits should be over someone that has like one. Someone that spent $0 for a free cup of coffee and a free consultation shouldn't be above someone that spent like $10,000. So like we started creating patient value with that. And that's kind of how it started. I never intend to sell it. And then, you know, you go to like conferences and masterminds and, you know, it's like I have buddies that say, hey, can you install that thing? We didn't even have a name for that. They called it, we called it that tracker thingy back then. And so we had that thing and I had like a couple dozen people using it. And then you keep having people tell you, it's like, hey, you should turn this into a business. You should turn this into a business. And there was a couple things that happened simultaneously. Well, I had like two of my partners like fighting with each other and we were doing pretty well. Like we were taking, like I was taking several hundred grand out of that business a year. And so was like some of the other guys. So it was a good business, but like, you know, like that's better than the majority of Americans. And so they were like fighting about that. And then my dad got sick. And then that was like kind of like a significant driver. And it turns out at the end of your life, it's you're not talking about like a watch or a car or a home that you didn't buy. It was like just meaning, purpose, like what was I here? Like your talk on the weekend where you're just talking about like the universe. And it just, I remember like having a 2.5 hour conversation with my dad while I was at a layover at an airport. It was a very awkward and uncomfortable conversation where he was just trying to find meaning and purpose. And if you ever met my dad, he was the most certain person about everything. Like, I'd show him stuff right on Google, right out of the encyclopedia when I was a kid. He's like, oh, that's wrong. He was just the most certain man, even though he was wrong a bunch of the time. He was like absolutely right. And like to watch him struggle with that, it was hard. And I just remember it was like September 2019. I came home and I told my wife, it's like, I don't want to wait till I'm 76 and dying of cancer. This thing that these people have been telling me I should do, I want to do that. So then we started talking about like what that would look like if we turn that tracker thingy into a business. We eventually had to come up with a name because we're tracking patients and then tracking stats. So we said Track Stat, right? So we came up with that. So we were talking about how this would happen, but it was like hard to give up that seminar business and I had no time because I had that. And then we had a busy practice. So when COVID happened, that was like, look, this is a sign from God. Like this is what we're going to do. So like in 1 week, we like just pivoted. So like we just decided to shut down the seminar business. The three of us went like our separate ways. And then I told the I asked my partners, is like, can I keep David? And then we started looking for a second engineer and we just went to ham on that. And then we started looking for our third engineer as soon as we found that. And that was kind of like the beginning of it. And then we started actually promoting it, I think September 2020. And then from there, we just kept like cranking along. And that was like, kind of like the Track Stat story. So we started this business not because we wanted to, it was just, it kind of happened organically.
I love that. Thank you for that story. And also that piece of like, follow what's on your heart, right? Like, don't wait till it's too late. Okay. From that, I guess you've already answered this to some extent, but like, if you were giving us your elevator pitch, the problem that you solve for CEOs is what?
Like one of the big things that we do is we help the front desk become more productive and profitable on a busy patient day. We have all the automations where you could automatically recall patients, appointment reminders, online scheduling, and reviews. But like if everyone responded from those automated texts, you'd be seeing like 10,000 patients a week, right? It's just like people are busy. So in between patients, like our recall algorithm, so it's a lot more advanced than before, it's going to show the front desk what to focus on today. So it's going to show you your canceled miss without a future appointment. It's going to show them the future scheduling rate, but like our algorithm will look at true patient value. It looks at past scheduling behavior, like money on account, how much they spend per visit, how much they spent lifetime, the likelihood of them scheduling, and it puts better ones at the top, worse ones at the bottom. So it allows them to easily call, text, or email and reach out to them.
Yeah, I know that. I love also that how easy it is to see like how many future visits are scheduled out with like just looking at the patient list. So you can prioritize if you're a checkout CA, like, okay, this person's only got so many scheduled out. You know, I need to talk to them and make sure that this is the time we're locking in. So there's just so
like many things. Essentially, like if someone wants more profitability in their practice, that's like the main thing. It'll do all your spreadsheets. They'll do like, they're already paying for appointment reminders, reviews, and online scheduling with something else. And then we're automating stats. Like we just last week and then this week we released quite a bit of updates to the stat custom stat builder. And then we added a visual part of that, like just recently, where, you know, you could do graphs, charts, and bar graphs and a bunch of other stuff. And then we're releasing like a auto emailing thing where, you know, like you just say, I want this report daily. I want this one monthly. I want this one quarterly. And then you could add your business coach to it. And then they get that email automatically. Nice. So there's a bunch of stuff. Like our goal, like I know, like we talked about earlier, like where you see kind of like this moving in chiropractic. And I think one of the things that I wanted to do for this, it's not just like a software. Like I feel like as a profession, like we've been very stagnant and haven't like really grown. Like I remember, I think when I was going into school, we were probably at like 88, 90 something thousand chiropractors. And I don't know what the stats are now. I think it's like anywhere from like 66 to 70,000. So it's actually like decreased. And then if you look at physical therapists, I think there's like 240,000. And for the average person, Now, obviously, we know the difference, but like for the average person that doesn't know anything about anything, mm-hmm. they might say, what's the difference between a chiropractor and a physical therapist? There's like, they're helping with neck and back pain without drugs and surgery, but like there's a huge difference, but like they might not know the actual difference. And why are there so many of them? And mm-hmm. I think if you could put an extra like $30,000 of profit into the average chiropractor's pocket, that's going to change a lot of things. Cause like,
totally,
we're never going to agree on everything. A lot of us are mavericks to begin with. Like they can't agree on like a term, subluxation. Does it exist? Does it not exist? Study or what is evidence-based chiropractic? And obviously like I like studies and, you know, like randomized controlled trials are great, but they do epidurals every dang day in medical, and I don't think there's ever been a randomized controlled trial on that. There's no randomized controlled trial that shows that parachutes work, but if I jumped out of an airplane, I'm going to want to wear one. Like they don't have like, you know, like randomized controlled trials on absolutely everything. So like, yes, I do believe in using research when applicable, but sometimes you just know things work and you just do it. And sometimes you have your intuition, you just got to follow it. So it's like, I think a mixture of both is mm-hmm. going to be best. But since we're never going to agree on that as a profession, I think if you put more money in the people's pockets, because now they could pay lobbyists, they could get laws like fought change, you could give to like defend chiropractic, like Baron Hogue was like mm-hmm. talking about. Even if everyone bought like a fancy new boat or sports car, people would see that this chiropractor down the street is looking pretty yeah. dang successful. And yeah. maybe I'm going to be a chiropractor growing up. So like, even if everyone went out and bought like frivolous stuff, like watches, clothes, cars, or a bigger house, like that would still drive the profession. So like,
I never thought about it like that, but you know, Noda, I think you hit on a few things. Number one, I know for CEOs from our program at TRP, you know, all these stats that you're taught to take with the scoreboard and the scorecard, you make it very simple. It's right there. Your scoreboard is right there in track set. Would you agree?
Yeah, no, it's super yeah. easy. And we're working yeah. on making it even easier.
I love that part of it because it's easy for my staff to get what they need for their KPIs. It's easy for me to look at everything in certain quantities of time. And, you know, we were talking about it this weekend that like, we do have a supply and demand issue. And part of that is what you just hit the nail on the head is if those of us who are running businesses, whether that's as owner operator or CEO style, where you've scaled, you know, the more successful our businesses can become, the more we can employ those that maybe shouldn't run businesses and do it in a way that everybody wins. But we're going to have good business acumen and know what's happening in our practice for that to happen. And you've made that a lot more easeful for the average chiropractor running a practice. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. So,
yeah. So how can people find you if they're interested in like a demo or how
to next? Yeah. Step? Like the easiest thing to do is they could go to trackstat.org, trackstat.org. There's a spot where you could click and watch a demo. It has like, you know, like a couple minute high level demo. From there, if they want to book a Zoom, they could book a Zoom. So they book a Zoom. If they like what they see, they just do a free trial, use it in your practice. And then most of the time, like people think that they're doing a brilliant job at keeping people on track and they'll see all these people. And let's just say you're collecting $50, $70, $80, $90, or $100 a visit. Like if you find like 10 people a week to add on your schedule, it's actually costing you money not having the software.
Yeah.
So like that's the easiest thing. And, you know, if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, you know, that's fine. We're willing to like install it and let people use it for free. And we'll usually do a Zoom call and give them a walkthrough with their own data. So that's going to be the easiest way for them to take advantage of it.
Yeah, I would highly suggest doing that. So thanks for your time this morning. And we'll see you at the next TRP immersion.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Remarkable CEO Podcast. Remember, what the world needs now is chiropractic, and what chiropractic needs now is more successful chiropractors. If you like this podcast, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. And if you'd like to connect with us personally, direct message us on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. Now go and be remarkable.